in sharing with a few people on this trip, I found that it's very easy to get caught back up in the world. You may be on a simple spiritual path, but a lot of your family members aren't. And they want to do it the old way, the complicated way, the judgmental way, or whatever it might be way that you used to participate in and get caught up in, and they're going to be ever calling you back out into it. And those at work may be calling you back out from your simple way. No, 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 you've got to do it this way. No, you know, you used to be so much fun. I could get you mad. You'd get into an argument. We'd have a good battle. Then we'd go out and have lunch. What's wrong with you now? You're no fun anymore. You have to choose how you want to live your life in the world as an initiate, as one who is returning home to God. And one thing you're going to find with detachment as letting go of things in this world is there will be a disconnect. You are pulling the plug of your attachments. You are pulling the plug of your involvement in the world in many areas of this creation as you walk this pathway to live the simple way, to stay focused into God. And then it's ever a choice. Just like sitting down and meditating is a choice, it's ever a choice. Am I going to plug back in and play it the old way, or am I going to live this new way and not connect back in? It's just a choice. But oh, what a choice. And that choice is a very important one to make. The one thing I also found is you can't blame anybody but yourself for the choices you make. You can't blame anybody but yourself for what is unfolding in your life today and tomorrow and yesterday, because it's all through your choices that you have made that have brought you to this place that you are in today. The choices to be loving, accepting, and forgiving, or to not be. The choice is to be responsible for your thoughts and your feelings, or not to be. The choice is to be responsible for your actions and your reactions, or to not to be in that action. Everything has brought you to this place by which you have chosen, so now you have created. If you like your creation, then keep making the choices that brought this creation into being so you can have more of it and more of it. But if you don't like the creation you're in right now that you yourself chose to create, then begin to make new choices so you can have a new creation. And it doesn't mean you have to wait till the next lifetime to have it. There are some people that are teaching that if you don't like this lifetime, you're going to have to wait till the next. And you better start living this life better now so that the next lifetime will be a good one. So you better do good deeds in the world. You better give your money away to the poor. You better live differently so that this next lifetime will be different. Well, I know that if you begin to make choices right now of loving, accepting, and forgiving, of sitting down every day and holding your attention inside and loving the Lord in meditation every day, your day ahead will be different. Your weeks ahead will be transformed. And the years to come will be totally a different creation than where you were before you began to make this new choice and action in life. You can change your life, but you have to do it. No one can do it for you. I remember years ago when I began doing my counseling work with people, and I did it for free. And I used to get all this money as gifts from people in gratitude for what I did. And Spirit said, nope, you can't use the money for yourself, it's for others. And I had no idea really how to put it all into to movement. And it was a surprise as to how much money was coming in these gifts and how it built up in such a way. And so I had to find ways to put it into action. One of the first things I did is I thought, well, I'll go out and I'll help people. You know, I'll go help homeless people, people that are in dire need. I thought that'd be a good place to put it. And I went and I rented an apartment and I made that apartment available to three people at a time to help them get off the streets and to begin to move back into society, to give them a home base, to give them food, to give them an opportunity to get a job and get back on their feet. And I gave people an opportunity to make a new choice, a choice to live life differently, a choice to do life differently so that they could put their lives back together again the way I thought they would want to put them back together again. Well, guess what? I went and rented the apartment. I went down and started talking with people. And the majority of the people I talked to said, what? I made this choice. I like my choice. I like where I am. I like this life that I'm living. There were a few that didn't, and they took the opportunity, and they used it well. There were others that used it, but in a way, not so well. They just used it to get out of the cold for a few days or a few weeks, or to get some food. And then they were back on the streets because that's really where they chose to be. That's really where they wanted to be. That was their choice. And I realized then that I could not change a person. I could not even help a person to choose differently. They had to want to choose differently and then do the choice, make the choice, make the change. I couldn't do it for them. And when I was on this trip, I became very aware of that awareness that I got in the action of helping people in that time. You can't do it for them. You can't make the choices for them. You can't even change their attitude to get them to make choices that would serve them differently. And so I know that all that Brian and I can do is to be a voice in the wilderness ever calling out like John the Baptist, sharing an opportunity, and that those that are willing to make the choice to do things in a new way, to hold your attention and to hold your action of living in a new way, will have the life that they are choosing, a life of spirit, a life of loving, a life of simplicity, but more than that, a life of soul liberation. And this choosing is done with awareness. It's stay awake, stay aware. What am I choosing now? What am I stepping into now? Where am I going now? Why am I doing this now? Why am I saying this now? What do I want to do with my life right now? It's ever be aware. And it's also to do the same thing in a meditation. Be aware. Be awake. Keep bringing yourself back awake if you go to sleep. Keep bringing yourself back to focus if you wander off from holding your attention at the seat of the soul, of bringing your awareness into that divine river of loving, of holding your loving with God. Be aware and bring yourself back to awareness. It is in awareness that you will know the inner experience. The inner experience goes on whether you're aware of it or not. You know, your soul is awake and alive and loving and joyful and peaceful and calm and happy whether you are meditating or not, whether you are focused on the soul journey or not, because the soul is ever learning, the soul is ever growing, the soul is ever present in that action. Even if you're not aware that that's who you are and what it is you're choosing to do. So it's called wake up. Just like Rumi says, wake up, and don't go back to sleep. That's what meditation is about. Wake up. Now wake up in this minute too. Now this second too, this breath too. Wake up. That's what chanting the name of God is about. If you stay focused on saying that name of God, that you're given an initiation over and over and over and over and over, and you just keep bringing your focus and awareness back to that name, you're going to wake up. The power of the name, the power of loving, the loving that you build up by chanting that name over and over, does wake you up to higher and higher frequencies of awareness. That is awakening into the divine loving that you are a soul. You will wake up. And that is a tool that you can choose to truly put into action in your life in a very simple way. And just say it over and over and over. Well, Jim, I don't like repeating things over and over and over. I can't do that. Oh, yeah? I bet if I were to walk around with you during the day and write down things you say and write down and record everything that you're thinking, you'd be surprised how many times a day you repeat to yourself, boy, I'm stupid. I'm unworthy. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't understand. Just repeating back to yourself over and over, undermining who you truly are and feeding that connection back into the world, anchoring yourself with all this burden that you're ever putting upon yourself and your consciousness that holds you present here in limitation. By stopping that action of repeating those phrases to yourself and whatever else you say to yourself, and just chanting the name over and over of God and building the power of loving up inside with God, you free yourself of all the other. It just begins to drop away. And there'll be a day where all of a sudden there'll be a moment, not in meditation, but just a moment in your day where all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, I just felt loving move. I just felt joy. I just felt peace. And you go, something's different. Something's happening. But it's all done by choice. Sit. Meditate, speak the name of God over and over and over and over. Yeah, it may be boring. Yeah, it's hard to hold your attention to there sometimes because the mind keeps coming in and saying, well, I don't want to do this. I want to go over here. But do it anyway, because as you do it, you get above the mind. You take charge of the mind. You take charge of this creation. You transform your creation into a new creation. And you begin to live life differently. Every teacher has taught that. Every teacher has taught that. Jesus said it, and I can't really remember how it's actually worded right now, but it's he who is born into the Christ becomes reborn anew and lives a new creation, a new creation. That's what this is about, to live a new creation right now in this lifetime. And that new creation is the soul. The soul, when it reclaims itself out of this world and back here to the seat of the soul, a new creation is born. A new creation is found. A new creation is lived. You begin to live as the soul. You begin to identify yourself as I am soul. Not I am mind, I am body, I am sexual desire, I am hungry. It's I am soul. I am divine. I am loving. That's who you know yourself to be. And you are in a new creation. You live a new creation. You are a new creation because you are soul restored. You are soul renewed. You are soul living its true essence of life once again, focused in God, focused with God, living in God, fulfilled, and going home to God. So yes, meditation can be boring. It can be hard. It can be challenging. So why choose it? Waste of time. Why choose it? Because ultimately, it truly will bring you into that new creation. It truly will bring you on that path of simplicity. It truly will wake you up in the divine knowing that you are soul. So why not do it? Well, I don't want to miss the shows on TV. I mean, my God, 2.5 hours? You know, do you know how many good shows are on in the evening? One person says none. But the mind will tell you, yeah, these shows are terrible, but we've got to watch them. We don't want to miss anything. Do you remember when you were a child? I can remember this. I did not want to go to sleep. My parents would work to get me to go to bed because I didn't want to miss anything. And I can remember my dad coming in so many times at night, sitting me down in bed, laying me down in bed, and said, Jim, you're not going to miss anything. It's going to be okay. We'll tell you if you miss anything. We'll let you know what happened if it does. But nothing really is going to happen. You're not going to miss anything. Just go to sleep. Anybody experience that themselves, or have you ever done that with your own children or other children? There's a fear we're going to miss something. That's why you don't meditate. Well, golly, if I'm sitting in here and the windows are closed and the doors are closed and the lights are off and my eyes are closed, I'm going to miss something. The TV's off, I'm not going to know what's going on in the world. Oh my God, I could miss somebody having a wreck over somewhere, or somebody getting a divorce on the news. I've got to pay attention to all this, and I've got to be watching out the window to see if Mrs. Kravitz is across the street watching me as I watch her, and just whatever it might be. Does that sound kind of a little familiar inside? Well, guess what? Guess what you're really missing? You're missing the real story. You're missing the real events. You're missing something that you're really longing for and that you're missing in your life. And that's God, and that's loving, and that's the truth of who you are as soul. That's what you're really missing. And this isn't about going to sleep, so you're not going to lay down and go to sleep and miss something. What you're going to do is put your body down, allow yourself to wake up, and know it all, experience it all. And you will. It takes time. It takes focus. It takes loving. It takes attention. For some, it comes quickly. For others, it takes time. But it is happening. And even if it doesn't happen consciously to you right now, it is happening. And the way you can know that is by looking into your life and seeing if things aren't simpler, easier, more loving, more joyful, that people approach you differently, that you approach them differently, that you are beginning to step into a new creation. Even if in meditation you aren't fully aware of it, in your outer life, you can begin to see the reflection of it, as above, so below. And that eventually you can begin to lift out of the reflection of this new creation and live into the source of this new creation with awakening, with awareness, with knowing. It just takes time at this level, unfortunately. What's amazing is the soul is awake, is alive, is loving, is present all the time. It knows itself as a loving being. It knows itself as a spark of God. It knows itself as that. We just don't know it because the soul has also been directed to be involved in the world. And so it is looking down into the world to have experience until we redirect it. That's the choice, redirection. That's the choice, to sit down and hold our attention in loving with God, to redirect our focus, to redirect our attention, to wake up in this new way, in this new place. It's all a choice. Just like today, you can choose to get pancakes or a salad or a chocolate cake when you go to lunch or dinner. It's just a choice. Are any of those choices wrong? No, not really. None of them are wrong. They're all just the same. But it's what we do with them that gives them a charge of energy of right or wrong or yes or no or bad or okay. They're all the same. So if we can begin to look at this world and all of our choices as just the same, there are opportunities of experience, of growth, of nurturing, and then begin to see what choices serve us better, what choices take us to greater awareness and opportunity, and then to begin to make those choices. So you may find that the choice of pancakes or waffles are the perfect choice. And from now on, that's what you're going to eat more of. Or maybe it's a salad. Or maybe it's a chocolate cake. But you've got to take the charge off of it all in order to know. Another thing I remember from being a child is those things that were the no-no were the best things to have. I wanted cookies before my meal. I wanted ice cream for breakfast. Because mom said, no, it's not good for you. You can't have that right now. Those are treats. You can have them later. I want the treat all the time. My mother finally says, okay, do you want to keep on insisting on this? Go ahead. You can have ice cream every day for breakfast for this week. By the fourth day, I was going, can I have some cereal? Mom said, no, you wanted ice cream. I told you we're having ice cream all this week for breakfast. I didn't want ice cream. I wanted something else. I felt icky after eating the ice cream. I'd get on the bus and I'd be driving to school with the kids and I'd just be kind of like fuzzy and dizzy and not feeling great. By this eighth day when I got to eat something other, I wanted eggs. And my mom said, so you don't want ice cream anymore? I said, I'll have it when I want it. But I want eggs. And I never had ice cream for breakfast again. It's a choice. But sometimes we have to learn through experience which choices work best for us. My mom took the charge of energy off. Yeah, sure, fine. Go ahead and have the ice cream. Not right, not wrong, not a treat, not a meal. Just eat it. If you want it, eat it. Then I decided how I wanted to put ice cream into perspective in my life. So play, have fun, be the child. Go have ice cream for a week, every meal. And you may really love it. And you may really enjoy it, and it may really work for you, and that's great. And then you can take the charge off of it and let everybody else play with it, whatever they do with it. And you can watch and sit back and kind of laugh and go, isn't this funny? I'm having ice cream and they're all upset because they want the ice cream, but they won't eat it because they've got a judgment on it. Take all the judgments off, and then it's easier to make choices. Take all the judgments off your friends and off of your enemies, and it's easier to choose who you want to be with in your life. And that's really a truth. When Jesus said, love your enemies, he really meant that. Love them. Take the charge off of them and take them in as loving friends and see what happens. Love them all. Now, you may love them from afar because they're holding the sword at your heart, and you don't want to get just too close because they may go ahead and just let you walk right into it. But you love them however you can. So this pathway is a choice. But everything in life is a choice. Choose wisely, they say. I say just choose. And if you don't like the choice you just made, change it. And keep changing it till you find something that works. And that's what this pathway is about. So you have any other words? Ooh, silence. That's the wisest, to be in silence. To speak when you know you have something to say. But if there's really nothing there, don't just blah, 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 just to be involved in the world. Because you'll lose that centeredness. And that's what Brian's choosing into, is to live in the centeredness. And if he chooses that and lives in that and follows that, then he's going to speak from that. And if it's still, then he's still. And that's the place to live. That's where the peace is. When you follow that, my God, your life is wondrous. Just wondrous. All right. So thank you all very much.